From Nairobi, Kenya, this is Sema Story, the podcast. That song is called Wendo by the band Emona. Emona provided the intro and interludes during the previous event held on the 18th of February 2014 at Divino's in Nairobi. Emona consists of a duo of Stan Nguru and Kobole. Emona are available for concerts, office events, and even house parties. Bisha yaku Facebook yona ne gowe giugo no ginya juke kwanyu no kone kuringa jowe kairetu na uririkane tugithaka na dogu tuke bishana no for found ne motoku toranirwo nawe dathie ngarua ngigutumira marwa o higo darua twacokirie na gwito kwari na
iru. On this show we present just a few of the stories told at our last event, which was held at Divino's Italian restaurant in Nairobi. Our next story comes to us from Martin Kariuki. Martin is a great supporter of Nairobi Sema Story, and we always appreciate his presence.
Next up, we have Martin Kariuki. He's a creative, a presenter at Capital FM, a club promoter, top MC, and professional noisemaker. Martin, the stage is yours.
Thanks for clapping. Right, does everyone here speak Swahili? Yeah. Okay, that's your fault. Now, ask someone to translate in case I go into a tangent. I'm sorry. Blood, sweat, and tears. That to me is just rugby. Basically, blood, you're punched. Sweat, you run. Tears, you lose. Rugby. One game in mind. One game comes to mind. It's a game I played in for the first time for a school called Upper Hill, and we went to Lenana School Changes. Yeah, were you there? Were you in Changes? Oh, okay, sir. Thank God. Okay, because this story is not very good. So Changes, we go in, first time ever, going to the pitch. Changes has an anthem. Upper comes up with an anthem. Something about weed and Swahili and English. Nobody knew it, so we just hum along. And the referee says, okay, everybody get in here, let's do this. Pahilians don't speak English, so there were like seven guys asking, what's this guy saying? So then Changes guys go to the corner and start psyching up, go crazy, Maruni, blah, blah, blah. Pahilians are just watching. So nakichanini. So we go in, the ball is kicked in. First ball in, comes to me, catch it, run in. No one is supporting me, everyone is just watching me. I go into what we call a mole. It's basically where 8 males come together to harm one. So these guys come in, I'm calling my people. This is me, guys, come, bana. By the time the 8 Changerians, Lenana guys came through, my voice had changed to a soprano. I'll explain why. And this is exactly what happened. Guys, Jesus Christ, where the, oh my God, referee. The ref is like, carry on. These guys had grabbed a sack. If you know what sack that is, it was called milking. So that I could release the ball. These guys had twisted and pulled my, I'm sorry to say this, balls to a point where I think I have internal bleeding till this day. It was nasty, just bogus. And the Apailian guys just came in, watch how kulia kam jinga up IV. Hard, man, hard. You be hard, you guy. What's the problem? They're pulling my balls. So these guys look at me, atinini, they start laughing. The ball went missing. This guy was holding my balls. I was with him in primary school for 8 years. Timothy Mbarine. I hope you know him. Decides not to release me when the ball is off. So I'm still shouting, Timothy, there's a crowd of humans. I never mentioned this, but at that time there was a science congress. Mso was there, Moi Girls was there, Kenya High, Valley Road, that school with flight 6 called Kianda, there were 24. Yes. Chalks. They had come as central, whatever. We taught them a bit of English anyway. My friend. When that guy was done, I've not grabbed my balls that hard. Meanwhile, try number one. I'm the winger, dependent guy. I'm supposed to be scoring tries. Not that time I had a six-pack. This is just from babies and women and food and beer. And that day, the balls are still in here. So, the, you know. Anyway, so, kick off again. The ball comes back to me. I do the same thing. But then I remember what happened. So I kick it forward. This idiot comes from the side, clothesline, down, blood. First one. Second, sweat, pain. Third, tears, try. Uphill, 14 nil down, 4 minutes. That story can go on for a long time, but they chappered us 106-0. That was the first game I ever played. It was bloody, full of tears. If there was apart for sweat and apart for balls in there, if we never had them. We were killed, we were destroyed. We never, ever, ever got girls from Chalks, my girls. That Valley Road school, that's the part where tears came through until last year. Anyway, that's another story for another day. Thanks. Bye.
So next up, I just thought about it. Like, we've had a band come and present, but we don't know their story. Who are they? Where did they come from? I've never heard of them before. So Stan, the stage is yours.
Hello everyone. Once again, my name is Stanley Nguru. Wow, kind of got off guard. Anyway, Imwan, as I said, is my band. Imwan was born 2 years ago, 2011 September. That would be it. Yes, 2011 September, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I was trying to. Yeah. Actually, Kubule and I are from the same hood. Like, we pretty much used to bump into each other on Tembea Pa Mtani Mtani. And I haven't studied music per se. I've actually studied sports medicine. Daktari wa wale watu wame. Have your people talk to my people. Cheers. And honestly, I've been doing music since I can never remember, and I never thought I never practiced the commercial bit of it. And 2 years ago, I met that guy and a friend of mine called Jesse Bukindu. Some of you might know him. He'd listened to something I'd done a while back and he'd liked it. And I'd recorded this song. I recorded this last song I just sang, Kahiki. And that guy had the song. He was from Nyeri. Alikuwa Mshamba. He was from the village. Sorry if I'm putting you on the spot. I'm sorry, man. And the rest is pretty much history. We got a record in there, and I thank one beautiful woman there. She's called Amy. That's our manager. She's helped us get where we are right now, and I really thank God. And I hope you guys get to enjoy the music more. That's our story. Thank you, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Moshe, smile yaku edukanagia. Baby girl, I'm blushing. Rabu for puro box, vitso kieta. Ona X-ray, ole sereni turei buwin sa serena. Ona Stanley, KLM, KQ, Lufthansa. Ona Jetling, ona Jetling.
This story comes to us from Dr. Leila Barasa.
I'm going to tell a story about, today we're talking about blood, sweat, and tears, right? And what inspired my story was Monday's first story. Our mother, I've got a daughter who's about 3 years old. No, 2 years, 8 months. So, when I by the way, if I'm taking too much time, you can cut me short because I can go on and on. Motherhood is so amazing. When I found out I was expectant, my first reaction was like, what? What do you mean? And when I told my father told me, I'm not married, so my father told me, when you play soccer without defense, what do you expect? So anyway, I went, had a bit of a difficult pregnancy. I had to work the whole time. And by then, in Jonjo, it's surgery. It's not pediatrics, it's surgery. I can sort Martin out. Orchidectomy, orchidopexy, we can do one of those.
My story is over.
So anyway, I was excited to be expectant. I knew I'm going to be the best mother in the world. To fast forward this story, when a couple of weeks before I delivered, I had an accident. I delivered my baby at about 36 weeks. Usually you're supposed to go for up to 40 weeks. So at 36 weeks, I had an accident. A patient kicked me on my belly. My baby stopped moving. I was put on bed rest, and I was so bored. One day I got up before, at that 36 weeks, I got up. I went to a pharmacy. I asked for medication that can help mature the baby's lungs so I can deliver when I want. Then I went to Tamasha, had a drink, smoked a cigarette. Then I checked myself into Nairobi Hospital. Then I told them, you can't give me anything. Give me about 4 hours for the alcohol to come out of my system. I had a glass of wine. Anyway, long story short, they induced labor. I went through labor. It was terrible. 28 hours. Terrible, terrible, terrible. I was in excruciating pain. Then my baby came Saturday, 20th August, 9:20 a.m. And she let out a big yell and I was like, oh, I'm going to be the best mother on earth. Okay. First day after we left hospital, we went home. First time my baby fell, I cried. I cried more than she did. I was like, oh, how can this happen? But after some time, I learned, this might sound weird, God takes care of the children. So I got to a point my mom told me, stop doting on this child. Let her grow, let her blossom. It has gotten to a point now. The economy is not good, so I'll start with diapers. She has to wear her diapers until they fall off because they're heavy. There's nothing over tea. Oh, you've susued once, we are changing. No. It will just fall off. I mean, these are hard times. On a good day, she walks around without one. You know the rompers that you buy children? As she grows taller, we cut the feet off so her mguz, her legs can come out so they can fit until when they are at her knees. That's when you say, oh, okay, now you can't wear this anymore. I won't lie to you. I told myself I'm going to be the best mother ever. Where am I now? She's at home. I hope she ate, by the way. I said, it got to a point her grandmother told me, for me to be a good mother, then I have to be the best of myself. So So I'm trying to be the best of me without pretense, without conforming to an idea of what a mother should be. But I stand here proudly and say she has blossomed into a nice young lady, very naughty, but well, we're working on that. And every day I pray for her. When Mandy talks about motherhood and the love that comes from motherhood, it's a challenge. At one point you feel like, this is too much, I may not be able to do this. But when you think of what you've gone through and the love that you get out of it is so deep, you cannot explain it. So with that, I continue, we forge on. Whether there's no food or there's no diapers or she has to wear her shoes until you cut them at the back so her foot can just go in a little. Such is life, and motherhood is great for me. That is my blood, my sweat, and my tears. Thank you.
Next up, we have an artist, a lady who's an artist manager, a publicist both in Africa and in Europe. She doubles both in radio and TV in Norway. And her name is Amy. The stage is yours. As she approaches the mic with a glass of wine. Welcome.
Hi guys. Martin called me a midget. Why is he? He said I'm a beautiful midget. So my story is how I started my career to be a radio presenter, a TV presenter, and also an artist manager and publicist. So I was 19 immediately after high school, and I got a job. And the first job I got was a radio job at Pamoja FM, which is in Kibera. I had never been to Kibera in my life, like since I was that small. So the first day I had to go for my show. My show was like from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. So I had to take a matatu from Ngong. If you guys know where Ngong is, it's like very far from Nairobi. So I had to take a matatu from Ngong, which is in Matasia, those sides of Kiserian. So I had to wake up at 4, get ready, go to the stage. So for the walk from where I used to live with my grandmother to the stage is like 20 minutes walk. It's that far. The hassle, you know. It was a hassle. So we are walking. My grandmother used to be my bodyguard. She'd take me to the bus stop every time, every Saturday. And one Saturday, as I was going to work, we met thugs in between my grandma's house and the bus stop. And these thugs told us in Kikuyu, "Inywe, tohei besha shanyu shode." You know, I'm like thinking, oh my God, I'm not even getting paid for what I do. I do it for free for like 6 months. So my grandmother says, we don't have money. We only have bus fare for her to go to work. That time bus fare from Matasia to Kibera was 20 shillings to Ngong, then 20 shillings to Kibera. That's in 2008. So my grandmother says, we only have money for her to go to work. And they say, sawa, tupatie niyo yote. Give us all that money. 40 bob, really? So we give them. And went to the bus stop, and we stopped a matatu. And we told my grandmother told the matatu guy, "Listen, my granddaughter just been robbed, but she needs to go to work." So the matatu guy is looking at us like, "Are you mad? What is wrong with you? You old woman, what are you trying to do?" And I tried to explain to them, "Listen, I have to go to work, so please give me a ride." And we stopped like 4 matatus. None of them could give us a lift. And I'm thinking, I don't care what happens. If I have to work, I have to work, because I love my job and I wanted to do this. So finally we got a lift and I went to work. As I was telling my story on air, the matatu guy, one of the matatu guys, calls on air and says, oh, kumbe hii inakuanga show yako. Kumbe this is your show. I'm like, what? I'm like, who's this? Ah, mi ni ule chalis kukubeba. Eh? I'm like, are you serious? Yeah, ulikuwa kwa bus stop pale Matasia. I was like, yeah. Oh, so nicheze hii ngoma flani na flani. I was like, I'm like, seriously? You didn't take me to work and you want me to play your song? I was like, anyway, no hard feelings. Let me play the song for you. So I played the song for the guy. And then in between the show again, he calls. And he's like, but they went super sana, yani. I was like, oh, Lord. So I didn't know whether to smile about it or to cry about it or to do what. But at the end of the day, I learned blood, sweat, and tears. You got to do what you got to do for your hustle, right? And look at me now. I work abroad. I work here. I have my beautiful artist over there, Imwana. And Yvonne Dark. Yvonne Dark is the brown lady, the beautiful brown lady with something on her head. They're both my artists, and I have artists all over Africa and in Europe, and I'm grateful for that. Enjoy your evening.
Our first two themes were Over the Edge, and the second one was Bad Ideas. So tonight we're getting a bit deep. We have a number of storytellers who are going to tell us about blood, sweat, and tears. And our first storyteller is somebody we've seen on both nights before. I'd like to welcome Mandy.
Hi, everyone. Hey. Welcome to Sema's Story. So basically, as always, I was set up. And I should know by now, because this is the third edition. I come, just coming to listen to stories, and they're like, tap, tap, you're it. First person on the mic. Anyway, so today, blood, sweat, and tears. I actually don't have a funny story. I kind of like to think I'm funny. Not many people think I do, but I crack up on my own jokes. And that's, oh, and she does. Hello. And that, sometimes that's all that really matters. But anyway, so today, blood, sweat, and tears is the theme, and it's about, I guess, the things your folks did to sacrifice for you. So I'm not a mom, and there are things that I see sometimes mothers, fathers doing, and I'm like, there's some weird alchemy that happens when you have kids, and it kind of replaces like normal emotions, because I was a badass kid. I mean, I was a bad kid, you know, like seriously. And the fact that I made it through adulthood without my mom drowning me, without my mom, I mean, I know it came close sometimes, but the fact that I made it to adulthood intact, more or less, is, I think, a testament to that parental love. And basically, the theme of my very short story today is cupcakes. And as I said, it's not a funny story. So I don't know if you remember, like a long, long time ago, I may be dating myself here, but there was a time like we all went to the same primary schools, regardless of who you are, you know. So in the primary school where I was at, folks used to talk about ponies. Folks used to talk about, okay, there were no queen cakes then, I'd be flossing, eh? We used to talk about queen cakes. They used to have like sandwiches with Mickey Mouse bags. You know, it was just like some outlandish stuff from some of these kids. And there was us who are regular kids. You know, we came. Sometimes you took the bus. Sometimes your folks drove you if a car was working, and so on and so forth. So this one time, my dad had gone for 2 years to get his master's in Australia, so my mom was holding down the fort, as women do, hoop hoop, that's what we do as women. And it was Christmas, and I'd looked at all the kids in my hood, and they had all these new clothes, they had new shoes, they were just looking fine. And then, so let me be vulnerable for a second, let me be open for a second, because if I'm telling this story, I might as well tell it. So I know now, looking back, because now these are stories you have with your moms, and she got us queen cakes, and I think it was street op, and I felt so cheated. I was like, seriously, what the hell? And I remember just crumpling that queen cake and just like tossing it. Like, I was so angry. You know, like those fits of rage that sometimes you have as a kid. I was furious, you know, like, what is this? I didn't curse then. I wasn't that bad a kid. But if I was an adult, I would have been cursing then. And I remember like a look my mom gave me when she saw me just kind of like crumpling that queen cake. And it was those queen cakes with that white paper over there that when you were hungrier, sometimes you chewed it and then you spat it. You know, that one. And then treat of the thing is she was also feeling like super generous because usually it was one kakap, one ka bottle top, that kakap, eh? And then she dilutes for you in those jugs, those glass jugs with red flowers on the side. This one, it was on us. Yani we had the choice of diluting it. It was filanga free, seriously. So you can see she went all out. So anyway, I crumpled the queen cake and I'm like, I treat of si kunyui. And then later on is when, and then I just remember the look, like even as a kid, I remember like a look she gave me. It was like, I don't know, like a mix of seriously, like disappointment mixed with like regret, mixed with, I guess that sense of now what I know to be like parental failure, like, oh my God, I tried, but I didn't quite hit the mark, you know? And then later on when she now starts telling me, oh, by the way, eh, to get those treats, me, I went and sold bottles to Mare Kwa Mare. I was finished as an adult. And I was like, the fact that sometimes we make it to adulthood as kids, the fact that there are so many small, because some of you may be even talking about like the big sacrifices, but for me, I chose to focus on like the small minutiae of life, you know, those small sacrifices that our folks make that we sometimes take, you know, with a lot of disdain. But the love that goes into it and the ability of kids to kind of sometimes throw stuff back in folks' place, it's a testament to folks' love. And I think for me, this is just, I guess it's a love story for my mom, you know. Yay, awesome, she did good. And yeah, I was a sucky kid. And if there's justice, my kids will be sucky. So thanks, everybody. That's my story. Goro ni thayo, goro ine, madhina maka ikeha, kutire wako daithia, mashiri ya mutu ine, nowe ujoe, nowe tuoke ota, kujohora, neke muno, majore tiesioria, neke muno, madue iresira, neke muno, So thank you for being patient and telling your stories and listening to stories. Our theme for every semester is hear a story, share a story. To close the night, we have a gentleman who we started this whole concept with. He dreamt of... He used to talk about hosting nights where people talk of stories. And I'm like, for how long will you tell this story? Let's do this. So yeah, I'm sure there are people who know him better, but I'll just introduce him as Peter. The stage is yours.
Quite unexpected. I'm usually back office, and for me to tell a story, I don't know, what can I tell you? I can tell you about my friend MM, no names, whose phone got wet and she decided to microwave it in the oven. The end. That story will be too short. I could tell you about going for my master's in South Africa, then finding out it's a correspondence course, but that wouldn't be my story. So I'll leave that on for another day. Probably I'll tell you about my friend Michael. Michael was he's a very gregarious, very affable, lovable guy. Back in the days, as Martin had mentioned, we used to play in the basketball national league, and we used to have six packs and pecs, not pots and jugs. But back then, we were in the same team. We were playing Division One league, and it was basically a team of friends. And so, as it goes, someone decides what happens on the weekends, because it's all friends. So someone decides, okay, let's go to 14 Falls. For those guys who don't know where 14 Falls is, it's in Kilimambogo, about 20 kilometers from Thika, and Thika in turn is about 45 kilometers from Nairobi. So we go there and we're young guys, full of energy, having fun. And if I can describe to you roughly how 14 Folds looks, it's like it's not really 14 Folds, but it's a waterfall with a large body of water. And if anyone knows Kenyan rivers, they're all brown and they have silt and very red and heavy during the rainy season. So we are sitting across the pool. It's about 50 feet across and 30 feet. And I have two friends in the team. One jumps in and is swimming across this pool of water, which is below the waterfall. Well, swimming, but actually he's just dog paddling. And he's there paddling. And of course, I'm like, okay, you do your thing, boy. And then Mike is across under the waterfall on the rock ledge. And he's standing there and he raises his hands and he steps in. At this point, there are two things I didn't know. One, the waterfall is 14 feet deep. And two, Michael doesn't know how to swim. So I'm sitting across and Mike raises his hand and steps in. And the next thing I see is his head is under the water and his hands are just like waving on top of the water. And I look at him and I know, man, this shit is serious. So yeah, it's bad. So I'm sitting there with a friend and immediately I get up and I realize, hey, this guy is drowning. So I remove my jacket, my shirt, my shoes, my socks, my trouser. I'm left in my old Ngothas and I jump in. So I'm swimming and by this time he's disappeared. It's not even a minute. He's disappeared under the brown water and it's very, very, very dark. And unfortunately, I was the only one who could actually swim in this team. And we were like 20 guys, only one. So first time I go down and I don't even reach the bottom and I come up and I'm like, man, this is really serious. I think I might die here today. I go down again I don't reach the bottom. Over and over, eventually I get to the bottom and I'm barely breaking the surface, barely. About to inhale and then you break the surface and you haven't reached the bottom. Several times, eventually you reach the bottom, you touch it, nothing, come up. And off camera shot, of course, there's a lot of action happening. In a few minutes, some guys are diving in to save Michael and they can't swim. So you have to go and first save them, go back. At this point in time, I stood still and you go down, touch something that feels different, come up, again, barely breaking the surface, go back down again, and this time I grabbed something and I came out, and it was my friend, and I pulled him to the edge of the pool, and he was all limp. I fell to the ground. By this time, I didn't realize what was happening, but I was too exhausted, but fell to the ground, CPR, nothing. We rushed to the nearest clinic. I don't even know where what it's called, but we rushed there, and the nurse pulls out some equipment, some pump, and she is pumping. Nothing. And then she looks up, and then she says, he's dead. And we are like 20, a bunch of two dozen young men and women, and we're looking like all days, like no one has a word. And after a few seconds, someone just says no. So we rush off to Thika Hospital. Let's go get him medical attention, proper medical attention. We rush there. In no time, two nurses are out, doctor, vitals. Then he says he's passed on. Now to go break the news to the mother of one boy, 20-something year old. And no words are coming out. Words start forming into sentences and she realizes, hey, things are bad. Out of the door, into the car. And we disperse briefly. That time you're bawling, and I say bawling, not having fun, back. And then you narrate the story, which of course I've, this is the first time I'm actually telling anyone. So you narrate the story, and during that week, as you know, during the evening sessions, you have to tell about what happened. And yeah, we buried Michael. Rest in peace. And I don't know if there's anything I can impart or what I learned from this, but probably when the immortality of youth meets the certainty of death, then the reality of life is born. And probably the story will end there, but there is a small footnote. Years later, I had my son, and there was never any doubt what I would call him. I called him Michael. Thank you.
Special thanks to all our story contributors for an amazing night. Sema Story is produced by Esther Ndeti and myself, Peter Njonjo. The night was hosted by Esther Ndeti, sound recording by Edwin Martin, editing by Peter Njonjo, and photography by Samir Khan. To share a story or listen to one, join us at our next event. Dates and venue are posted on our Facebook community page at facebook.com/Nairobi Sema Story. That is Nairobi S-E-M-A Story. You may also view photos of this and past shows on our Facebook page, or simply search for Nairobi Sema Story on Google. See you next time.